his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. And we have a great day of celebration today as we lift up Jesus. That's what it's all about. We are your good news station. And I already have guests in the studio, David. Isn't this awesome? Good to have Karen with us. Karen, you are still winning as the most fan mail in the station.
Yes.
Karen has something to celebrate, the most fan mail. Cards and letters and people listening and hidden places, Friday, 11 o'clock. That is a great, great ministry time. And, you know, in the early beginning days, we needed to serve Kleenexes with the show because the Holy Spirit was moving in such a way that sometimes people were calling, "I just can't stop crying." And you'd have guests in here and they were crying and we had Kleenexes in it. I'm sure there'll be more of that. And, of course, David, you're part of our staff here at WCNO.
I am, joyfully so.
And you are front line.
I am, front line. I've been there for a long time.
You are front
line. That's the program, and it's been well received, I think.
It has, and you are getting a great response, and I think you've just added an additional member to your team.
To the co-host, Ann Lim Hoko.
There you go.
And a tremendous, strong 24-karat Christian with over 20 years' experience in government.
Very good.
Working for federal level government person and just overall very perceptive. And it's just a great addition as an interviewer.
Yeah. So looking forward to how that's going to develop. I think this past week was the first official participation with her, though she's been on some other times. And now I want to welcome Randy Skinner. Randy, welcome to WCNO.
Great to be here. Today's going to be really exciting because we have a friend of mine, a young man that has had an incredible encounter with the Lord. And on the drive in, the Lord showed me that some of our listeners have sons and daughters, grandchildren that are not serving the Lord, and they've been praying for them. And I really want to encourage you today because today is the day of their salvation.
Praise God.
I really felt the heaviness of the Holy Spirit as we came here and as I entered the studio. So I want your listeners to tune in, call somebody if you're have someone you know, or one of your friends that you've been praying. I know some of the ladies have been praying together that are listening, and you've been praying for your children and grandchildren. I want you to call your friends right now, get them to 89.9 FM on the dial, because you're going to hear some testimonies, and we're going to pray, and God's going to release His Holy Spirit in these young people's lives.
Amen. So, Caleb, welcome.
Yeah,
Thank you for having me.
You're going to be involved in that that's coming up. We're giving our people just a moment to call their friends, get the word out, get a text out, let people know that right now is a good time to tune to 89.9. Randy, just give us just a moment introduction to what God has done in your life and who you are, and because that's really important. You have a tremendous God story.
Absolutely. I'm the director of what's called TransformationPalmBeachCounty.org. And God brought us here into the region as we were working with the Trump administration, Dr. Ben Carson. So we're in the inner city. I'm an urban strategist. I go into high crime communities and help turn them around. And one of the things that we are seeing in the body of Christ is a division between cities of refuge and really cities of destruction. We're seeing that right before our eyes. We're really seeing the book of Joel being lived out in prophecy. And so you can see cities that have decided to turn their rulership over to godless, antichrist individuals. We're seeing that in Atlanta, LA, New York City, other cities. And so we're really seeing this separation between sheep and goats, wheat and tares. And even in the areas of where God's setting apart cities of refuge, it's coming down to the zip code. And in those zip codes, are you going to follow Christ or not follow Christ? And one thing that's really important for our listeners to understand is that this separation is actually taking in business. So we are living in the day and the time in which the transfer of the wealth of the wicked is coming to the righteous right now. It's happening. And so what I'm seeing with multi-million dollar companies and small companies, and some of your listeners, you may have small shops, you may have small companies that you own, or your husband's a part of a larger company, or you are as women. And we're literally seeing a separation between merchants and kings. A king is a godly person that's serving the Lord, like a King David. A merchant is somebody like the king of Tyre in the Bible that accumulated wealth unrighteously and with injustice. So a lot of our corporations today are tied up as merchants. Well, God's separating those out. And we're seeing in corporations where maybe in your, I'm really seeing in multimillion dollar corporations where leadership is changing. Let's just say there could be business partners or maybe vice presidents or executives in the company that are not following the Lord. And God's moving those out of the way and replacing them with godly individuals. So this is the most exciting time that has occurred on the history of the earth. Our people that are in heaven that have gone on before us are looking down, and they're saying, wow, you're living in the days that were prophesied and we look toward.
Yeah, we were looking forward to this, and even the angels are watching saying, we just can't really understand what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. This is something really exciting. Randy, let's get right into our interview with your guest that you brought in today, Caleb. Welcome, Caleb, and tell us, get us introduced to you. Let us know what.
Well, I started, the Lord opened the door for me to start a young businessmen's group, and I have about up to 20 to 30 young business leaders, and we were really seeking God on this transfer of wealth. How do we get the merchant out of our own life, godless things out of our own life, so that we can walk in real kingdom freedom? And so what's been happening is we're literally living in the book of Acts. Every one of our meetings, we're seeing deliverance, we're seeing healings, we're seeing people filled with the Spirit, and of course, certainly salvations. But it's been, I mean, I've never seen anything like it, where the holiness of God is so powerful that when people come into our house church, they have an encounter every single time. And it's just, we're adding about 11 people a week in our meetings. So Caleb was one of these young men that came to our meeting. And Caleb came in, and he was invited by some friends, and he wasn't sure what was going on, but his testimony is very profound. And I'm going to let Caleb just step in and just share your testimony, what God was doing.
Yeah, I'm 26 years old now, and had grown up kind of in the church, but in a lot of religion and a lot of things that you had to do in order to be in right standing with God, and a lot of kind of like Randy's saying, like even merchant thinking within the church of, you know, selling books and things like that. And really the focus not being on the love of Jesus, and definitely the focus not being on the Holy Spirit. So I had gone away and fell into drugs. And about 2.5 years ago, had fallen into some drugs that had really kind of left me in bondage, like a very physical bondage, something where, you know, I stopped doing drugs, but I was still left with these effects that would take over my mind, take over my body. And I always just kind of assumed maybe I'd fried something in my brain. But, you know, I gave my life to Jesus as I came off of these drugs, but never got a part of a church and never got a part of a community that really walked me through what it meant to be filled with the Spirit and what it meant to kind of break these bondages that I had allowed to take hold of me. So, yeah, I came into Randy's home believing in Jesus the way that I think most people here in America believe in Jesus, which is within the confines of a big building that, you know, they grew up going to. Yeah. And I had never experienced the Holy Spirit. And as soon as I as soon as they started praying that the Holy Spirit would come, which was right about the beginning of the meeting, I felt something moving inside of me.
Amen.
And that thing that was moving inside of me did not like the Holy Spirit that was coming on the room. And I started getting filled with these thoughts of suicide and anger and you need to leave and this is not where we want to be right now. And it wasn't me thinking this isn't where I want to be.
This is like your first meeting there.
This was the first, within the first 10 minutes.
Wow, okay.
They started praying and, you know, praying in tongues.
Yeah.
And I had never experienced that, but I knew something was going on. And so, yeah, I guess long story short, it led to a moment where I was delivered of these spirits, and these spirits started to manifest themselves, and Randy and the whole community got around me, and out of love, in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, were able to command these spirits out. It was a very physical thing that I experienced that, honestly, walking up into that moment, I had never even really believed in, much less experienced.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, as soon as I was delivered of these spirits, I felt freedom for the first time in 2.5 years. Even though I had been sober for 2.5 years, I was still in bondage. And so I felt freedom. And then almost immediately after, I felt the Holy Spirit as they laid hands on me and prayed that I would receive the Holy Spirit. And so that was my testimony of deliverance. And just to see how the Lord's moving in my life in just the past 6 weeks, in a way that not only I never believed possible, but some of my family members that I believe, you know, are believers in Jesus, but have still yet to truly experience the Holy Spirit, they're learning from me and the impact that I've been able to make for the kingdom just in this past 6 weeks has blown my mind.
Yeah, and one of the things that Caleb's, for our listeners, is a young athletic bodybuilder, and he has a line of athletic clothes and works in gyms as a trainer. And so he's been really encountering his harvest field. He's going into his harvest field, making and taking opportunities as the Holy Spirit leads to reach people. We were talking the other day, I think he's reached out to at least 50 people in February alone. And the interesting thing is the harvest is so ripe. And so, Caleb, as you're sharing with people, how are you sharing the gospel so much so that people that are in the gym, people that are out on the street, that are also in bondage, what's your lead-in question like to these people so that you're engaging with them and they're saying, I want that too?
Yeah, it's funny. I basically ask them, do you believe in Jesus? And it's a really straightforward, simple question.
Yeah.
But, you know, I go, hey, do you believe in Jesus? And they'll answer it usually saying yes. But you can tell based on the way that they respond whether they are saying yes because they grew up in the South or if they're saying yes because they're filled with the Spirit and they truly believe in the power of Jesus. And regardless, you know, I share my testimony immediately after that. So I go, well, I do believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And let me share with you a little bit about my testimony. And I'll just lay out exactly what I just shared with you guys. And I'll explain to them how in my personal life, I've felt power different than religion, rituals, routines. I've experienced the Lord in a way where as I hear the Lord of the universe that created everything and, you know, will one day bring it to completion and could destroy it right now. And he's giving me the breath in my lungs to be able to talk. And I think about the fact that that Lord is on my side.
Amen. Right? That's pretty awesome. Amen.
So he's listening to me and he's for me and he's working this out for good. I just explained, I don't understand why you wouldn't want that.
Yeah, one thing that you said the other day, you had an encounter with someone and you said, my God has done this. So you were sharing the gospel kind of in a different way, and you lead out by saying, well, my God does this, and it made the listener question, well, who is your God? You introduced Jesus to them. And then also you had a very unique way of presenting the gospel with the court of heaven. And share that.
Yeah, this is something that Randy kind of laid out and taught me, and it's this idea we hear a lot about God being a good judge, but what does that mean? So if we think about a courtroom, you have God there as the judge, good one, which means that somebody's going to get punished if something's been done wrong.
Right.
And Satan is the prosecutor, and so Satan is coming to God saying, Caleb has done all of these things that are against your will. You've created him in perfection, and he turned from you. And so Jesus is my attorney, or he's my lawyer.
Right.
And so Satan comes to God and says, this is what Caleb's done. God looks to Caleb and says, well, is that true? I have to say yes. I plead guilty. And so God then says, well, the punishment for that is death. But he turns to Jesus, and he says, before I punish Caleb, is there anything that you have to say? Mm-hmm. And Jesus steps up. And Jesus says, yep, I actually will go ahead and take that punishment for him in full so that he doesn't have to do that. And God takes a step back and goes, wow, okay, well, Caleb, I guess, do you accept that? And this is the moment that most people in the world will look at God and say, out of pride, no, I don't accept that. I want the punishment. I know I deserve it, and I actually want it. And as the person says that, Jesus looks to them and says, what are you doing? Think of what I've just done. I already took the punishment. You don't have to anymore. And he's pleading with us, saying, please, no, just accept it. All you have to do is just accept it. And Satan is coming to God. No, look, he doesn't want the forgiveness. He doesn't want, give it to him. Give him the punishment. And you know, this is where we as believers have the opportunity to just put our pride aside and humbly accept that, lay our life down and say, all right, Jesus, thank you for what you've done. I believe, I receive, and now my entire life is yours.
I want to ask you a question, Caleb. When you're reaching so many people like in your 20s, that are in their 20s, that are in bondage to drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, what do you see, what would you say to our listeners that are maybe parents or grandparents that have a child or a grandchild that was in your position? How would you say or encourage them? We know, of course, to pray, but what would you say? Because you're seeing so many people respond that are in bondage that were like you were. And to recap, you went with your girlfriend at the time and you partook of taking drugs. When you took those drugs, a demonic power entered your body. It actually created a paralysis in your body at times and also filled your mind and attempted to kill you until you got set free. That's our generation today. So what would you say to listeners that are parents or grandparents or know of a young person that's in bondage? What would you say to them to encourage them?
Well, I would say practically, no shame, no condemnation. That is religion. That is, you need to pay for what you've done, and that's not Jesus. Jesus has taken that payment. And so understand that anybody that is, whether it's sexual addiction or drugs like it was for me, they're just symptoms, really, of the greater problem, which is they don't understand what Jesus has to offer.
Yeah.
Because we take these drugs to numb ourselves from the pain.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we just want more because now that pain is back. And so it's not about not doing the drugs. It's about finding the thing that will give you that joy that surpasses understanding, which is Jesus, and focusing on that. And understand there's really nothing we can do to open the eyes of anybody. That ultimately is the Lord. But if we show them the love of Jesus and less of this shame and condemnation, it'll be easier for people to see the love of Jesus right through our lives. Obviously, pray for them.
Now, saying that, because I don't want our listeners to misunderstand, you're pretty upfront with people and telling them, hey, you're in bondage.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a straight shooter, and saying, you know, it's heaven or hell. There's no compromise in your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make sure that the listener didn't think that you're soft selling.
Oh, no.
The gospel.
No, because I've been there. I know how much these things will leave you empty and hurting. And so I'll come to them. And I'll just be straight up. I know you're not happy. I know you're not sad. Like I've been in your position. You're not happy doing heroin. You're not happy addicted to, you know, pornography or whatever it is that this person's doing. That might give you a spike of pleasure. Mm-hmm. But you're not fulfilled.
For a moment.
Yeah, yeah, right? And I know that. So stop chasing that. Yeah. That will lead you down a path that will ultimately just be death. The enemy is trying to disguise something that will kill you as something that will bring you life. Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for however long, and it's never brought you life. So it's time to turn to something else, something that will.
Well, Randy, this is awesome. It's awesome to be connecting today with Caleb and just hearing the story. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of moms and dads and grandparents and some great grandparents mm-hmm. that are praying over the kids today, saying, yeah. you know, what is, you know, God, help, do something, you know, reach our kids. But just to hear you share that God is moving in your generation. God is moving right now in your generation. We're not like praying for revival to come. Maybe our prayer is, God, raise us up and send us out, send laborers out into the harvest, because, Randy, you just said that already, that the harvest is ready. There are people receptive. Yep. So what is... Are you finding people receptive on a regular basis, Caleb?
Yeah, really two types of people. The people that are openly living in sin and that acknowledge that they're living in sin and that it has left them empty are very receptive. They hear this promise of life and this promise of joy and this promise of freedom, and they say, I want that, whatever that is. And I do meet you know, other people that were raised around this spirit of religion, of things that, well, what do I have to do in order to be in right standing with God? And a lot of times those people are almost harder to reach, because those people are having to rework the way that they think of Jesus, as opposed to these people that are living in bondage. They're really hearing about this Jesus for the first time. And so it's a completely fresh, you know, person that you're speaking to. But yeah, I mean, the world has left everybody empty. And I think there are people that are waking up. And I believe that the Lord, maybe he has not allowed the world to get this broken, but he's using it to show people how broken it is and how empty it is, to show them, all right, it's time to turn to something else. And we have that answer. So we should be out speaking it.
Amen. Randy, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray before we close out this first 30. But as we're talking today, I'm thinking about Mark chapter 9, where a dad comes looking for Jesus, but he found the disciples. And that would have been okay if the disciples had the power that Jesus had. But what they found was that they were not able to minister to the need that this father and this family and this child had. And so had they left, had Jesus not come when he came, they would have left the same way they came. Mm-hmm. And I believe we have some listeners today that maybe have been on a search, and maybe you found a temple full of people that are religious, but they don't really know the author. But God is the one who can and does set us free. And I love your testimony, because I was 15 when the fire of God changed my life. And what God did when I was 15, he's still doing this morning. Mm-hmm. And so if you have been seeking for God in the temple, but you haven't found him, don't believe for a moment that there is not a God. He is very much here with us and wants to speak to you, wants to minister to you. And, you know, of course, the disciples are like, why couldn't we do anything, you know? And Jesus kind of laid it out, you know. They were followers, but they were not participants fully engaged yet. They'd been following, they'd been watching, they'd been observing. And I think a lot of Christians are there too. They watch all this and go, okay, well, you know, give me some of that. But there is a surrendered life in order to receive the freedom and the transformation that God brings. And so, Caleb, it's awesome. Awesome to be here with you today. And I just believe that we have some listening today that really are looking for that freedom in their life. Maybe you've been in church your whole life. Maybe you never left the church. Maybe you have been a perfect member, but you're here this morning and you're not free. You're not free. You're listening. You're not free. And you want to be free. Randy.
If you're listening and you've never experienced freedom in Christ, I want you to just pray this prayer right now after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my bondage. I ask Holy Spirit that you would enter into that place
of my life
where I have given over to Satan. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
I receive the fullness
of the work of the cross,
and the resurrection
of Jesus Christ in my life.
I invite you, Jesus Christ, to redeem me, to save me, to move in me. Holy Spirit,
come into my life and fill me and remove the sin.
The bondage.
Those things that have raised a fist against the Holy God. Holy Spirit, now I ask that you just fill each person that has prayed this prayer.
Yes, Father, as a listener,
I want you to present the name of the person that's on your heart. Could be a young person like Caleb was. Could be a child, son, daughter, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Present them now to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we invite you now, as these precious saints listening, present their loved one to the Lord, maybe a neighbor, maybe someone that's in the grocery store they've met. I commission you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to go forth and share the gospel and set the captives free. I declare and decree Isaiah 61 over every listener, that you shall walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, setting the captives free and healing the sick and seeing the blind eyes open, physically and spiritually, in Jesus' name. And I just believe right now, in the next few days, the listeners are going to get a call from a loved one asking these questions. And I commission you to lay hands upon them, pray for their salvation and their deliverance. You don't have to find someone else to do it. You have the authority in Jesus' name to do it yourself. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. 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 Caleb, I'm just going to invite you back. Bring some of those individuals that God's put in your path. Bring them with you next time. And, you know, there's nothing like the testimony, you know, to touch lives. And I'm sure it's been an encouragement today. What would you say to those praying grandparents that are out there today?
I would say there's power in your testimony. That's really the only thing that I know how to preach right now, being so fresh.
That's good.
But it's crazy to see people's response, because it's something that you can't fight, you can't argue against. It's your testimony, it's true.
Yeah.
And believe, my dad had been praying for years, believing that he raised his son and also my siblings went away but have come back to the Lord. And he just was speaking the other day to me about how God does immeasurably more, because all these nights that he thought, man, what did I do wrong? You have promised me that if I raise my kids up the right way, they will walk with the Lord. And what are they doing? This isn't, you know, what I was promised. And for him to be able to listen to me and my testimony and actually learn from me, he said, is immeasurably more. So just believe in that and keep praying for it.
Amen. Okay, now I want you to pray for those fathers and grandparents that are praying. Just a smidget prayer, because there's a bunch of them out there that God will encourage their hearts, and they will hang on in faith and see it done.
Yeah, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit out upon all of the grandparents, fathers, mothers out there that
have their lives today.
Kids and grandchildren that have gone astray. I pray the Holy Spirit will come strengthen them.
Yes,
and they will continue to pray, and they will continue to believe, and you protect them from all of the attacks of doubt from the enemy that would lead them to believe that the Lord has not answered their prayers.
Thank you, Lord.
And I pray now for those children and grandchildren that have gone astray, that you will open their eyes, you will show them your love, your grace, your mercy, you'll bring salvation, and you'll bring the Holy Spirit, and you'll bring a revival. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Randy, hope you're going to come and see us again.
Absolutely.
Real
bless
soon.
You guys. Thank you so much.
I love the guest you bring in. Caleb, good to meet you. Your brother, part of the family. All right, keep your dial set right here. We're going to go to a song, Revival. We try to bring this in every week because that's what we are living for, is for the move of the Holy Spirit to be great in our land. Amen.
To hope again, we want to see.
Praise God. Glad that you joined us this morning. We have already had a great beginning of Wednesday Live today, and just have another guest that came in sort of on a little different note, very important to recognize. We have a lot of ladies who listen into this program, and so Bob is joining us because it is Women's History Month, but you are from
the Road to Victory Military Museum in Stuart, Florida. I'm vice president.
Hang on. Let me get all the mics on here. There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Five. There you go. I'm live too. I feel good.
Yes, it's good to be alive.
Yeah, it is.
Knowing that you're an engineer, Bob, and I'm not hitting the right buttons here, you know, you know how that goes.
That's all right.
All right. So you're from the Road to Victory Military Museum.
Yes, right.
That's located right here in Stuart.
Exactly.
And this is Women's History Month. You have a little bit to share with us in regards to the museum and what's taking place.
Yeah, in honor of Women's History Month, I'll be doing a speech Saturday at 1:30. At the museum.
Okay.
And that's 319 Stipman Avenue, right in Stuart.
Okay.
Between the ball fields, tennis courts, and the middle school, right off Ocean Boulevard. And we'll be talking about the sacrifice of women during World War II. A lot of it wasn't actually recognized. And it was like, I enjoyed doing the research on these incredible, amazing women.
Wow.
Who stepped up and they filled in the blanks and the areas that men used to do, mm-hmm. because they were at the front. The women stepped up. They took those jobs. They ferried airplanes and they made ammunition. My mom was one of those back
really?
In Ohio. Yeah, she was making bombs in Kings Mills, Ohio, and occasionally things would explode and people would just disappear. And the next day they were there working again. But it was World War II was a very dark time, and I wanted to do a quote from Alex Borstein. You probably don't recognize her name right off, but you would recognize Marge Simpson if she was talking to you, because she does the voice of Marge Simpson. And Alex Borstein also is the manager on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a series, and she got an Emmy Award in 2019. And I'm going to quote what she said when she received the award, and it's a chilling note. And the quote is, "My grandmother turned toward a guard. She was in a line to be shot into a pit and said, 'What happens if I step out of line?' And she said, 'He said, I don't have the heart to shoot you, but somebody will.' And her grandmother stepped out of line and ran." And Alex Borstein said, "For that, I am here. And for that, my children are here. So step out of line, ladies. Step out of line."
Amen. Wow.
That's just one of the stories I'll be discussing.
That's powerful.
And the things were so bad in Germany that many of the people that came and became Americans, like Hedy Lamarr, they had to flee. Hedy Lamarr was married to an Austrian arms manufacturer for the Nazis, and she disguised herself as a maid, her maid, and fled to England, and eventually ended up here in the United States. And not only was she a famous movie star, she was an engineer, a very talented engineer.
Wow.
Developed 1,000 patents.
Wow.
And submitted to the Defense Department a plan to prevent our torpedoes from being jammed, utilizing frequency shift keying. And she also had other patents. But the Army and the Navy, they said, "Well, we've got all these professors and that on our staff, and that's very nice. You're a big Hollywood star. But we have no use for your frequency shift keying." Funny thing is, she was 30 years ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
They let the patents lapse. And because of her inventions, the cell phone you have in your pocket led to the development of the cell phone we use today. And that's Hedy Lamarr. She never got a penny for all her inventions.
Wow.
Another famous individual who was actually born in Berlin is Marlene Dietrich. And she became a major movie star. In 1937, She donated all her salary from the movie A Knight Without Armor in 1937 terms. That was about $450,000. So you can imagine what the worth would be today. Mm. And all that money went to rescuing and providing a means for Jews to escape Germany during that time.
Wow.
And not only that, she went on tour with the USO and recorded a famous song called Lili Marleen in German, which was popular with American and German GIs, and it's about this soldier leaving his girlfriend to go off to war, and it was humiliating for the Germans to hear that kind, and they banned that song from being played for the soldiers, but the soldiers complained so much, they said, well, okay.
play it.
Wow. So anyway, she was one of the first Hollywood stars to actually participate in the bond. She sold more bonds than any other Hollywood stars to the U.S. savings bonds.
Wow.
Another woman started here in the United States, Josephine Baker, and she was a poor black woman and saw a lot of bad things happening. In 1917, she witnessed the burning of black families' homes in East St. Louis. And then at 13, no father, married at 13 with little formal education. By 14, she was divorced.
Mm.
By 19, she was talented. She could sing and she could dance. At 19, she went to Paris, opened her own place, and had the biggest, area, I wouldn't say a bar, but it was a venue where she performed, and she had a menagerie with her. She had cheetahs, she has monkeys, and occasionally when she was performing, that cheetah would jump down off the stage. So when war broke out, she had access to all the embassies. Everybody wanted to know Josephine Baker. They wanted to be with her. Mm. So she was a perfect candidate to go and get information, garner information from these embassy parties. And what she would do is she would write the things that she was hearing under her sleeve and hide it. She would also write notes, go to the bathroom and write notes about troops and things that the enemy was doing and pin it inside on her undergarments.
Mm.
And her secretary was the chief counterintelligence officer for the French, and he stayed with her and posed as her secretary all the way through until they did a tour in North Africa after the Germans were defeated there. And then she went on to work with the USO. So that's one of them, Josephine Baker. But I quickly have to talk about my next girl, who unfortunately, due to a shooting accident, lost her left leg.
Hmm.
And that's Virginia Hall Goley. And she became the most feared spy in all of Europe.
Hmm.
She was known as Marie of Lyon, and headed up the major spy networks for all the French. And she heard of they were supposed to have a meeting with her agents in Marseille. And she knew something was up, and the Gestapo captured 12 of her agents.
Mm.
But that didn't stop her. She found out how to get in there. She had one of the agents' wives smuggle sardines in and other tools in. So they finally manufactured a key so they could escape. And they had a priest bring in a shortwave radio. They were broadcasting right to London from inside the jail in Lyon. And the head of the Gestapo there, known as Klaus Barbie, who ended up in Cleveland, I don't know however he made it to Cleveland, they finally captured him. And he said, I would give anything to get my hands on that, I won't say the word, lady. And after that happened, these guys escaped, and she made sure they were conducted all the way to Spain, and the Gestapo immediately put 500 agents right there in Lyon to find her, and the German military assisted as well, so she had to flee on one leg, one leg limping all the way to Spain, and then she was arrested by the Spanish for illegally crossing the border.
Oh, man.
And they conducted her to the American Embassy, and they sent her over to England. And by 1944, She went back into England. Amazing courage by this woman. Wow. She was fluent in French and German. That helped. She was good with disguises and very discreet. So she headed up a group of saboteurs, French saboteurs, and they took out 150 German soldiers, captured 500, blew up four bridges, and that's the kind of thing she was doing. Now, locally here in Stuart, we have two famous individuals. One of them's a WASP. Her name is Bernice B. Volkhaydu. She passed away several years ago, but she lived in Palm City, as a matter of fact. And during the war, she flew a wide variety of military aircraft. And when that they ended the WASP program, even those women had to pay to get their own way home. They weren't even recognized for all the stuff they did. And unfortunately, a lot of these women died when they had crashes and that kind of thing. And B was inducted into the Women in Aviation International Hall of Fame in 2013. And she passed away at the age of 100 in 2021.
Wow.
The other one, of course, is Frances Langford, who is known for her work with the USOs and things of that nature. She's been from Stuart. And I got one quick story of Frances Langford. She was in the USO all the way till entertaining the troops in the Persian Gulf. But when she was in the South Pacific, 10,000 guys in front of her, and she wanted to sing her signature song, which was "I'm in the Mood for Love." And when she said, "I'm in the mood for love," one of the GIs stood up and said, "Well, you came to the right place, lady." So her and the GIs, and a lovely lady, a wonderful lady. And I'll be covering the items I highlighted.
Once again, give us the time. It's going to be at the museum right here.
That'll be 1:30 on Saturday at Road to Victory Military Museum, 319 Stipman Park in Stuart, Florida.
So, Bob, thank you for coming and giving us a hand in remembering some of the great heroes that our ladies have been and part of the great success of our military and continues to this day. So we thank all of you who have family members who serve and all of you ladies who have served who are listening today. And if you're within driving distance, you'd be blessed to come to the Road to Victory Military Museum located at 319 Southeast Stipman Boulevard right here in Stuart. Bob, it's always a pleasure and a joy to have you. Thank you for always making time for us here on Memorial Days and other times of celebration. We thank you for your service and the work that you do.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you so
thank
much.
You. All right. Blessings. All right. Karen, I think you have some mail.
I do.
That we need to share. You have something else?
Yeah. Can I quickly mention, you know, as that I am a member of the Military Women's Memorial in Arlington, Virginia, and this memorial was put together. It's a one-of-a-kind tribute to American servicewomen, past and present. They have an education center, interactive exhibits, and world-class collection of military women's stories. And I belong to that they've been around 25-something years now. So, honoring military women of all the services. So, if you're ever up in the Arlington, Virginia area, check that out. And then you can also register your service if you're a woman who has been in the military. All right. And yes, we do have the Martin County, looking for a Library Board of Trustee vacancy. There's two vacancies on the board. Application needs to be made by Friday, March 15th. You can check with Donna Gordon at 772-288-5756. There's two vacancies there.
All right, we're going to run to a break for just a moment. We're going to be right back. We have one more guest we're reaching out to today. So, again, Bob, thank you for joining us. And thank you all for listening. Wednesday Live, we still have a few minutes left. So keep your dial set right there at 89.9.
Are you hungry for hope? Hi, this is Amy Thompson. If you or someone you know and love is experiencing hurt, hardships, or heaviness, We'd like to invite you to Hope Fest Florida on March 23rd at 4 p.m. at the Boca Raton Community High School football field. Hope Fest Florida is not just an event, it is a revival and reformation movement to share the gospel of our King Jesus, to unify the body of Christ, and to advance the kingdom of God right here in our communities. I invite you to look us up at hopefestflorida.com where you can find out more information. I hope you'll come. Would you step up to the call?
Son of man is coming. O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, all my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home. So we pray for the peace, we look to the east, for the sun rises sudden and fierce. Every prophet and priest and king in the city, we will mourn for the one we have pierced. But don't fear, oh my daughters, or sons of Abraham. I will wash you with water. I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you. I will never let go. No. But I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. Stand alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. I will gather you.
right, and we are glad to have you listening today to Wednesday Live right here in WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And, of course, that was Joshua Aaron with that great song entitled Zion. And we do remember Israel today, and we pray for the peace and salvation of Israel as well as of the Arab nations. We pray for their salvation as well today, and we just pray that in this day, as we look at the condition of the world, we lift Jesus up because he is the answer. Well, I have a guest that is joining us by phone right now, and hopefully we're going to be able to get a decent connection. Chris, are you able to hear me okay?
I got you great.
Okay, good deal. Well, we'll try to get the volume up here enough so all of our listeners can tune in. Now, there's an event that's coming up entitled Stars Go Dim, and you are Chris Cleveland. I understand you may be a part of this group. Tell us what this is all about.
That's me. Yeah, my band, Stars Go Dim. We've been a band since about 2007. We are coming to town on tour. It's a tour called the Authority in the Name of Jesus Tour, and I'm bringing some of my good friends called the Band Table, and we're playing in Royal Palm Beach on Thursday this week. So we are pumped about coming in, and we're going to bring some of the songs you guys listen to on the radio and worship together and just have a great time.
Fantastic. Now, do you have the address and some of the particulars on how people can connect with that and get more information?
If you go to starsgodim.com, or if you follow me on any of the social media platforms, so Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, any of that kind of stuff, you can get all the information there. Or the Royal Palm Beach Cultural Center, that's where we're having the event. Or if you're local and you know the promoter, it's Jazz It Up Promotions. So jazzituppromotions.com, you can check it out there. But starsgodim.com, anywhere, you can Google it, and you can find out all of those details.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, Chris, I'm so glad that we ended up with a number for you so we could reach out to you. And this sounds like it's going to be a great, great evening. So is this an event for all ages, a family event? Tell us who should be coming to this event.
Absolutely. Bring the whole family. Bring everybody that you get a hold of. And we're running a deal on tickets right now. They're buy one, get one. So you guys can come, bring the whole family, not have to worry about break at the bank, and just enjoy an awesome time of worship together.
That's awesome. Chris, thanks for joining us today, and just praying that you all have an awesome night together as you lift up Christ.
No, thanks, sir.
God bless. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Bye. All right, again, that's an event that's coming up this weekend, and that is Stars Go Dim. So you can go online and you can find out a lot more about that. Of course, he said you can find them on Facebook and just do a search and figure out exactly how to get the tickets and get it all put together. Sounds like you get two for the price of one. All right, we have a couple minutes left. Dave, you had something from the mail.
Yes, I did. From our good friend Janine in Lantana.
Oh, hi, Janine.
She's very active and giving listener. Just sent us a shout-out and a blessing to say, may God bless, praise God, and thank you, Jesus, lifting up WCNO.
Wow, that's great.
And we thank you, Janine, for your really committed listenership.
Support, yeah.
Yeah, this is our family out there.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous. Well, we've kind of had a mixture of things going on here today, but so glad that you linked up with us, joined in. Hopefully, you were able to be a part of the first half hour where we had Caleb with us and Randy Skinner with us, just talking a little bit about the power of God and what's going on with the younger generation. Karen, what else do you have?
We had that prayer request from Joseph.
That's right.
That's right. And he called and said that he's scheduled for 2 p.m. today. So we wanted to lift him up in prayer. Yeah. Joseph's having some issues going on at work. So,
yes, Father.
Father God, we just lift Joseph to you, Lord. Father, you know the whole situation.
Yes, Jesus.
You know everything that's hidden. And Father, I just pray that whatever is hidden will be exposed, Lord.
Amen.
And Father God, that you would work through Joseph. Father God, that you would give him ability and strength and clarity And Father, that you would move things in his favor, God.
Thank you, Father.
Father, we just come against every lie spoken against him in the name of Jesus. And we just pray for a favorable outcome for Joseph. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. Father, Amen. We know that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So may those principalities and powers that are wrestling against him be bound. And Father, may your favor be upon